Sandra Ezekwesili. Are the southern governors taking the right steps? That's what we're talking about for the next hour. The southern governors met again last week and released yet another list of declarations and calls. Our big hard fact today is that the southern governors have met twice this year, first in Asaba and now in Lagos. And those two meetings appear to have shifted the center of gravity in Nigerian politics. For example, a lot of lawmakers at the National Assembly have aligned themselves with the positions contained in the so-called Asaba Accord and Lagos Accord. But at the same time, the governors have experienced pushback. Some have questioned the approach taken by the governors, as well as their end goals. So what we're here to do today is to look at the positions that they have taken, issue by issue, hopefully time allows us. We'll analyze those positions in the context of the issues and facts, and then you will tell me, Lagos, whether the southern governors are on the right track or whether they are not on the right track. Now, I have two guests on the show with me today. One of them is one of the conveners of the Coalition of Northern Groups. He's a friend of the station. He's been on different shows, different times. Dr. Nawaila Mohammed Bello, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here. Good to be called again. I hope I will not butcher your name. Ezekwesili.
That's close enough. And then my second guest is a software product manager and a policy analyst with over a decade of previous experience as an M&E consultant for the World Bank. Chief Andy Oboforibo, welcome back to Hard Facts.
Yes, Sandra.
And Lagos, as we continue this conversation, we'd like to hear from you as well. Which positions of the southern governors do you agree with? Which do you disagree with? Women, you can call me on 01465-7190. Men, you can call me on 0700-993-993-993. So, gentlemen, let's start with something that just broke yesterday. The Southwest governors have compiled a list of proposals for amending the constitution and restructuring Nigeria. They want recognition of geopolitical zones as federating units. They want some powers devolved from the federal government to these regional governments. They want more autonomy for local governments. And they want mineral resources to be owned by the states. Dr. Nawaila, what do you think?
Well, everyone is entitled to his opinion. As the leaders, they are entitled to present what their view is. But then it's left for the members, the representative, to see whether it's a go area or a no-go area. I am actually, when they wrote about local government autonomy, you should be looking at it from what? Because from what we have been hearing, what keeps stopping local government autonomy is the governors. So if now the governors are saying they want local government autonomy, you look at it like, okay, is the presidency lying all this while? Or is it that the governors are actually just faking things? You know? So based on local government autonomy, it's just a laughable matter because all the government have been pushing blame to the governments. On other things like recognizing the geopolitical zones, yeah, you can recognize whatever you want to recognize. But what I want is, when you look at the accord in Lagos, and then you look at the accord in Asaba, I read through their statements, then you now come to see what they are saying now. There's a lot of confusion. Okay. They should be clear on what they want. They should be very clear and explicit on what they want as southern governors. First of all, being the fact that they unite as southern governors, it means that then they are sending the views of the South. And I don't think that is safe because now the North will try to counter it.
Okay.
They should have at least individually present their cases. But now calling, because being the governors, it means they have the highest margin of support in their states. Mm-hmm. And for them to unite, it means they have the highest margin of support from the southern part of the country entirely. So it's like they are presenting the views. And if you look at their accord, it's like they want this. It's not political, it's I want. Their statement has always been, I want and I need and I must have.
Okay.
So if you look at this now, I personally think they are entitled to write what they want to write. Then the House will sit down and see what they want to amend, whether accept it or not. So as Nigerians, they are entitled to write. As governors, they are entitled to present what they think is convenient for their people and what they think is convenient for their states. Now, it's left just to see what the North will present, and then we go to the House and deliberate.
Okay. I want to hear what Chief Oboferebo thinks.
Well, I think I'll start with the last point, which is that the assertion that what the southern governors are doing is just making demands. I want. Well, that's politics, actually. That is not unpolitical.
Okay.
Politics is a game of interest, they always say. So a group of people who feel they share some interests come together and they say, these are our interests. And they go to the bargaining table. You start with a shopping list, right? I remember that that's what the late great President Shehu Shagari used to always say in the Second Republic, that if you want something from your, as a constituent, you have to come with your shopping list. And then you present your shopping list, and either you have the political influence to get everything on your shopping list, or you don't, in which case you negotiate. Okay. But if you don't start with a list of demands, a shopping list, then you're not going anywhere. So that's one.
Okay.
Two, the idea that the southern governors presenting themselves as one is something negative which the North will now respond to, that's also incorrect. I mean, like you said, this is the second time the southern governors have met. Before now, the last time they met was at least during Obasanjo's time. In the interim, the Northern Governors Forum has met as a forum under every president. In fact, the Northern Governors Forum, when Jonathan was president, I believe it was when Jonathan was president, had a meeting with then U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry. So not only were the Northern Governors meeting as a group, they were actually meeting with external players, foreign powers. And at no point was it said, this is wrong and that the South will do back. No, the Northern Governors are allowed to meet. They are allowed to call themselves the Northern Governors, the same way Southwest Governors or North Central Governors. It's association, and there's nothing wrong with that, especially if the North has common interests and the South has common interests. These things are normal. Now, on the issue of what the Southwest Governors have proposed, the issue of local government autonomy, I'm inclined to agree with Dr. Nawaria that, you know, state governments across the country, all 36, are very hypocritical when it comes to local government autonomy. They are the ones who have been stopping the local government. So what I see there is the southern governors or southwest governors want people to buy into the rest of their agenda. Politics is a game of give and take. So if you want people to support you on the things you want, you also have to concede some things that you ordinarily would not have conceded. So the southern governors have seen, or southwest governors have seen, maybe that if they finally swallow this bitter pill and allow the local governments to breathe and to have autonomy, it will get more people to support the rest of the agenda. And that's smart politics. Now, on the issue specifically of devolution of powers, I disagree with the idea that what the southern governors have now said in this, the southwest governors have said in this proposal is at variance with what they said in Asaba or in Lagos. Because remember, in Asaba, they said they want restructuring. Specifically, they want devolution of power from the federal government to the federating units. And this is what is now being asked for in this proposal, creating a new layer of federating units, six geopolitical zones recognized by the constitution, giving those geopolitical zones powers that are currently resident in the federal government, giving them the power over state creation and all of that. That is the Asaba Accord made flesh. Now, so I think there is still a lot of consistency there. Again, we can also talk about, you know, issues of state police. These are all things that they also mentioned in the Asaba Accord. So there is no incongruence there. But again, it comes down to how much buy-in will they get. And, well, that remains to be seen.
Remains to be seen. Dr. Nawaila, would you like to respond to the points that Chief Oboferebo has made?
Well, first of all, nobody said what they did was wrong. I said they were entitled to convene and say what they want to see. He had made reference that, okay, the North has been doing this, have been doing that. But you as a journalist, have you ever come across an accord from Northern governors? Can you tell me when you see a declaration or a demand from Northern governors to the federal government since from the commencement of Obasanjo regime till date? You can't say that. Because, see, as he's saying, politics, you don't come with just demands. And demands that are self-centered. You come with things that are that will interest your people, presented logically, convince the other side or the other people that this is what I want. And until by doing this, you might get something also. It's as he has been saying, buy and take. So if I need to take this thing, I need to sell you an idea. I need to convince you on there are social things that are positive for you. For instance, if you read through the petroleum industry bill, the governor supports it, although I've seen a counter statement today, like from the Southeast Elders Forum, Southeast Elders Forum countering that statement. But if you read through what they said, they agree with the fund for home, for host states or host communities. They agree to for funding there. They agree for, renumeration funding. But then they said, because government has suggested exploration of the frontier business, they said no, they counter that. But let's assume it's a business and you own a company. They said I can put fund this, I can put fund that, but I cannot put fund in enlarging this company, making it bigger and producing more. That's the statement they are telling us. When it comes to state policing, now let's assume what is the role of Omotekun now. We think they are a sample of state policing. What shifted from the normal police to Omotekun now? There has been cases of killing someone. There has been cases of extortion. There have been cases of robbery from them. So what's the positive of state policing? If you have started with Omotekun and this is the message we are seeing, then consider the Southeast Security Network. What have they achieved? They only achieved harassing the Fulanis in the villages. That's the only message.
Eastern Security Network is it's an arm of the proscribed IPOB. That's not a state initiative.
But since the governors themselves are now saying you can't arrest this, for us now in the north, we are seeing that the governors are backing the IPOB because they are saying you can't arrest him without our permission. And a lot of Easterners now, influential Easterners, are saying they must get release the person leading the charge. So if that's possible, then the state government is indirectly supporting those kind of things. And if the state government is indirectly supporting those kind of things, then we should expect some similarities between those kind of organizations and then the state policing.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that. Let me give Chief Oboforibo a right of response. You get 2 minutes. I gave him 2 minutes, so you will get 2 minutes. After your 2 minutes, we'll move on to the next question because we can't stay here. If we stay here, that's the whole show. Chief?
Well, if the argument is that because a particular example of regional or state police has been guilty of abuses, then there should be no regional or state police. Carry that argument to its logical conclusion, then since we've had innumerable cases of abuse by federal police, SARS, regular federal police, then that means there shouldn't be a federal police either. Then let's wait for the UN to come and police Nigeria. The point I'm making is, at the end of the day, what is needed and what qualifies as best practice is that you should have national level, state level, and municipal level police that are independent of each other, that are responsible and accountable to the government at the same tier as they are. That is the norm globally. Only a country that is occupied by an occupying force has only a central police that is imposed on it. Is Nigeria an occupied country? I don't know. I leave that to the listener. So we shouldn't be talking about it and saying, oh, state police is bad because Omotekun has done this. So for instance, in some states in the north, we have Hisbah. Hisbah is going around harassing, in some states, harassing innocent business people, destroying alcohol, banning mannequins and generally making a nuisance of themselves. Are we going to say that because of that, Hisbah should be proscribed? No. I think we've all, the existence of Hisbah to enforce Sharia law is perfect example that in Nigeria we have accepted that there should be local laws that fit with the requirements of the people from a place. And those local laws should be enforced by local police. If it's good enough for Hisbah, it's good enough for Motekun and whatever it is. Dr. Nawalia says that the Southern governors and Southwest governors are making selfish proposals that only benefit them. I'm curious as to, so I'm going to list some of these demands, and then I'm going to ask whether these are only supposed to benefit the South, or will they not also benefit Northern states? If we're saying devolve power from the federal government and reside that power in the states and in the regions, doesn't that mean that the Sokoto state government will now have more power than it had before? Doesn't that mean that the North Central region will have more power than it had before? So is that a selfish demand, or are the Southern governors making a demand that will benefit all 36 states? When they say state police, is that only going to benefit Imo State or Abia State? Will that not also mean Nasarawa State and Niger State will also have their own state police? When they say resources should be controlled by the state in which the resources reside, does that only include the oil in Bayelsa State? Does that not also include the gold in Zamfara State? So I am very curious to understand why these demands are being presented by my co-panelist as selfish by the South. It strikes me less as South versus North and more as state versus federal.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Let's go to the phone lines. Lagos, give us your thoughts. 0700-993-993-993. Women, call us on that number. Men, men, call us on 0700-993-993-993. And then women, call us on 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Do you believe that and the state governments are right to call for state police? What do you think about state police? Do you think that federal security agencies should inform governors before operations in their states? Because that's one of the things that they talked about. That was one of their demands. The Southern governors said that going forward, security agencies should notify the governor as chief security officer before any operation in a state. And what do you think about the points that my guests are making on the show? You get 1 minute, 30 seconds to share your opinion, and then we'll keep it moving. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Joyce Daniels.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi.
I do agree that it sounds more like central versus states and not north versus south. We're tired of north versus south trouble.
Okay.
We want to decentralize power.
Okay.
I think that's the direction to go.
Okay.
That's the objective thing to do, I think.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Joyce, for calling.
99.3.
Hello? All right. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3.
Hello.
How are you, sir? What's your name?
This is Don Baba.
Hi. Welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you. I listened to your guest,
mm-hmm.
and I agree with the last caller.
Okay.
That it is South versus North, and a state versus federal.
Okay.
I understand the position of my brother from the North, because the Northerners have enjoyed power a lot, so it is difficult to demand from anything. And you know, in the South here, we have a lot of gullible politicians who have been following these people. They just realize now because of the insecurity everywhere in Nigeria. Let us be realistic. So they should keep it up, especially the Southern governors. They should demand more, especially to this devolution of power. How can you have 44 local government in Kano, and Oyo have just 23 or so? Ogbomoso or Ibadan happen to be the largest city in West Africa, or second largest city in West Africa. How many local government? Go to Kano, 44 local government. Some local government are empty. It's unfortunate. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan Baba, for calling. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
My name is Bumi. I'm in transit.
Bumi, welcome. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Thank you. I just want to say that I don't know much about politics, but I've carefully listened to the two of them.
Okay.
And what I can pick from this discussion is that if someone is suggesting something that will benefit all, and then the other person sees it as being selfish, it's because the current system benefits that person, and the person is not willing to let go.
Okay.
That's the way I see this whole thing.
Okay.
Please, the Northern. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the northern people should please stop seeing it as something that is selfish. We are all going to benefit from it, and they cannot hold on to that power forever. That's what I want to see.
All right, Bumi, thank you very much for calling. Let's take a look at WhatsApp, see what messages we have on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959, hold on, 75805. Let's see. All right, so the messages are still loading, unfortunately. Okay, in the wake-up call for a new Nigeria through restructuring, it will be in our best interest to change the name and modality of our national policing system from the Nigerian Police Force to the Nigerian Police Service. We should have the Federal Police Service, the State Police Service, and the Indigenous Security Service. We want a policing system where the least qualifications required should be at diploma level, especially on security studies. Thank you. That's a message from Christian Ewama, who is at the satellite town River Rhine area. Christian, thank you so much for getting in touch. Sunday from Ajao Estate says, yes to shifting the presidency to the south in terms of equity. That is the new beginning. But to be frank, the problem is not power being shifted, but to be allowed vigorous restructuring. Otherwise, there may still be serious economics and conflict across the geopolitical zones. All right. Thank you very much, Sunday Ajao, for your message. If you just tuned into the show, hello to you. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And on the show today, we're taking a look at the Southern Governor's demands from their last meeting. They released yet another list of declarations and calls. This is the second meeting they've had this year. First in Asaba and now in Lagos. And these two meetings appear to have shifted the center of gravity in Nigerian politics. And today we've got two analysts having this conversation with us. Chief Oboferebo here is a policy analyst. He's in the studio with us. Joining us over Skype is Dr. Nawaila Muhammad Bello. We're going to go on a break, come back and keep... Lagos, I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. It's 29 minutes past five, and I have on the show with me today one of the conveners of the Coalition of Northern Groups, Dr. Nawaila Muhammad Bello. And I also have Chief Andy Oboferebo, who is a policy analyst, originally a software product manager with over a decade of previous experiences as an M&E consultant for the World Bank. And they're both here today talking about the Southern Governor's demands. Because our question, our big question, is if they are taking the right steps, the Southern Governors, that is. They've had two meetings this year, first in Asaba, now in Lagos. And the governors have experienced some pushback. Some people are questioning the approach that they're taking, as well as their end goals. And so what we're trying to do in this hour is to look at the positions they've taken, issue by issue, analyze those positions in the context of the issues and the facts, and then you will let me know, Lagos, whether the Southern Governors are on the right track or not. Now, Dr. Bello, let me come back to you for a bit. One of the things that the Southern Governors also agreed on was a deadline for passing anti-open grazing laws. They set a deadline for September 1st for passing anti-open grazing laws. What's your opinion of these laws and of the feasibility of enforcing them? After all, there is no state police to enforce state law. So what if the federal government chooses not to enforce it, Dr. Bello?
Okay, I want to start by rounding up, just answering 1 minute for one question from what my friend left.
Okay.
An open question.
Okay.
Whether there is the need. If what my arguments were, then there is no need for police, for federal policing, because there is extortion. What I'm trying to tell him is, when the Nigerian police started, there was no robbery from the onset. There was no extortion in the onset. It's after long 40, 50 years of service that this started showing. Hmm. While this from commencement started with that.
Hmm.
That's an entirely different thing. This came while the process is on. This started with it because I think Omotekun was launched mid last year or ending last year, mm-hmm. and the robbery was and the extortion and all this punishment were as of January. Mm-hmm. So look at what my arguments were. Now, when it comes to the enforcement of open grazing, mm-hmm. first of all, there's a law that gives Fulanis the chance to move. We have the freedom to move from one place to another.
Right?
Right. And the Land Use Act has provided a route they call the grazing route across the country. So if there is this route and we have the freedom to move and there is no restriction on our movement and I choose, for instance, to escort my sheep or my goats or my cattle or my camels or even my crocodiles or my lions and I chose to move them by foot, so far I am not trying to harass another person, then it's safe for me to move and I have the right to move. Because this is a country, there are laws of the country. But when you said you cannot graze openly, you are violating my right as a Nigerian. Now, let's assume you are doing it for security, which security supersedes everything. All these criminals that have been caught, or all these bandits, all these kidnappers that they are saying they are Fulani herdsmen, none of them has ever been caught and they have seen cattle or sheep with him. All those people you see moving across are people trying to get a legitimate means of earning. Now, for instance, for all those that were caught just 3 days ago, an Igbo man was caught carrying 20,000 rounds of ammunition. And this has been happening for 4 or 5 years, where Igbo men has been caught. I'm not saying all of them are Igbos, but most of them are Igbos carrying weapons across the country. But the North has never decided, or any governor has never decided to say, okay, now Igbos should vacate my place, or I will stop the business of Igbos. For instance, nobody has stopped in the North to say mechanics will spare part business will be stopped because there are criminals among those type of people. You should recognize, it's job of the security to recognize those that are criminals and those that are not. Leave those that are not criminals to get a legitimate means of earning their food and living. You cannot harass people and keep on harassing them and expect their brothers and other family members to just sit still and keep watching you. No, nobody has monopoly of this kind of things.
Okay, so 2 minutes done. 2 minutes done. Chief Obafor, about 2 minutes as well.
All right. So I find it interesting that we say open grazing. Nobody mentioned ethnicity. We mentioned a profession, not even a profession, a practice within a profession. So nobody said we're banning grazing. Nobody said we're banning Fulanis from grazing. They said we're banning a particular type of grazing, open grazing. And my dear friend here says that means it's a ban on Fulanis. No, open grazing. So it's like I'm an Ijaw man. It's like somebody saying we're banning fishing in a particular place because it's damaging the environment or whatever. And then I say, this is a Ijaw man has a right to go anywhere. No, that it's a non sequitur. This is a ban of a particular practice. And this ban did not come in a vacuum. I should point out that even the northern governors, all the northern governors, have endorsed a ban on open grazing. It's just that the southern governors are the only ones who have... Well, not the only ones, but the southern governors have agreed that to go one step further, apart from agreeing to a ban, to actually put it into action. So this is not a North versus South issue. Even the southern governors, and so even the northern governors are aware that there is a particular element of this particular practice of open grazing that has made it a flashpoint for security. The federal government has admitted as much. The presidency has admitted as much. They've talked about the fact that climate change is putting pressure. So now we have more people doing open grazing coming down than where we had before. So there are more clashes or more conflicts because open grazing, we grew up here in Nigeria. When I was younger, the herdsmen would pass through my hometown, Port Harcourt. They would pass through. They would pay money to whichever farmer or person whose land that the cows went to eat on. They only went there with permission and only after paying. But what we are seeing, what we have seen, and this is something that has been said by the presidency and by the governors, is we're now seeing a reluctance to pay. And instead of paying, we're seeing violence when there's a clash. Yes, the people who have been caught were not caught with cows, but that's because the people who are shooting work for the herd, for some of the herders. They are not herders themselves. So I'm a herder. I don't want to pay for my cows to graze. So I send them somewhere. And if the villagers disturb me, I make a call for my militants to come and fight them. So it's not the... So there are two groups of people here. The herders and the militias supporting them who are armed. And we have the reports from, you know, various international organizations on this. And the governors have decided, all 36 governors, that, look, this practice needs to stop. And to conflate that with spare parts dealing, I'm sorry to say, you start to wonder, because the spare parts dealer, unless, of course, maybe Dr. Nawara would tell me, maybe in the north, there are spare parts dealers who are carrying their spare parts and going to sell the spare parts on other people's, in front of other people's houses, on the people's front yard. And when the people say, don't sell your spare parts on my yard, the spare part dealer calls a militant to shoot them.
All right, let's leave it at that. Lagos, join the conversation, 0700-993-993-993. I will give you a right to respond. But let me take a few calls and then I'll come to you, okay? Remember, Lagos, the calls are 1 minute, 30 seconds each. 1 minute, 30 seconds, that's what you get. WhatsApp is available as well. WhatsApp is 08095975805. Oyekomi is on the line. Oyekomi is in Lekki. Good to have you on the show, ma'am. How are you? Hello, how are you?
Yeah, hello, Sandra. How are you?
I'm very well. Good evening.
Good evening. I just want to make a little contribution. Do you see, the problem of Nigeria is so funny, because I don't understand the way some people think. I am so glad that the southern governors have finally woken up.
Okay.
And this is not an issue about whether somebody is from the north or south.
Okay.
The north since independence has ruled this country for over 43 years. 43 years. Yet, there's nothing to show for it. There are people that are the poorest. So now, if people are saying, let us restructure Nigeria, shouldn't they know that there's something wrong? And you see, why is it that when the South says something, they take offense? But when it is not saying something, then it is okay. For example, Bauchi State Governor defended people carrying AK-47, and he was telling the country that they were defending themselves. What is that? What is that? How can people be carrying AK-47? People who are tending cows, is that correct? But wait, if Amoteku now carries AK-47, they will shout. So what is their problem? Nigeria is for everybody. It's not only for the North. Nigeria as it is now favors them. That is why they don't want to let the present structure go away. That is the truth. And they should wake up. And whether they like it or not, we are tired. We are tired. Nigeria is for everybody. So they should wake up and stop telling us this rubbish.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And let's mind our language, okay? I understand that we're passionate, but let's mind our language. Let's be courteous when we're talking on a public forum. Hello. How are you?
Hello, Sandra.
Thanks for calling. You've got 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Yes. So I just want to mention that in the north, I want to confirm, this Sharia law of breaking people's bottle of beers and then giving instruction of not displaying your clothing with machines, and nobody is saying anything. It is only within the north. And remember that most of the Igbos, most of the Southerners are trading in the north, and it's affecting their business. But now they are not saying anything. They are comfortable with it. Why is this so? Why is this so? Why should they go and destroy Igbos' business, drinking bars and all of that, in the means that, oh, it is threatening our religion and the machine? Please, I need to an answer from the guy, please.
All right, thank you very much for calling. So we've got two calls, and we've got the answer to your points that Dr. Boforibo gave before I took the calls. You can address all three at the same time. Chief Boforibo, sorry about that.
I know, go school.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Now, if I may start by saying, there is no way you can associate any other tribe with Harden. Harden is a purely Fulani. That's why even when they are trying to call people, they target Fulani headsmen. You have never heard of Yoruba headsmen, Igbo headsmen, Hausa. Not even Hausa. It's just Fulani.
Okay.
And wherever you go, it's Fulani. So to say you are not targeting this, he's just trying to be political. But in this program, I'm trying to come out as real as they come. Mm-hmm. And I expect him to come out as real as they come. Let's not try to shield our people. I'm not trying to shield the people or the presidency when they make when they fail. I'm trying to say the views of the North.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to tell me that, that herding is done by people, or herding that these people, this is entirely Fulani then. So we know they are banning Fulanis. And if everyone is entitled,
are they banning Fulanis, or are they banning open grazing?
They are banning open grazing, but then if you ban open grazing, there's a lot of things that, like for instance, you say all the North are biking. Banning open grazing.
Yes,
I've never come across that.
No, they did. All the 36 state governors agreed to ban open grazing.
No,
you can look it up at your free time. No, you can.
I believe in that. There's nothing like that.
Belief is one thing. Facts are another.
Another thing is when there is a law that gives me the freedom to do something, and you come and say, I can't move my things. For instance, now if they say it's closed, we need to have a ranch now.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to use that land we have, that government allocate for the road as our ranch, or do the Fulanis need to buy the land? It's one question.
What do you think?
How do we move?
What do you think needs to happen?
No, you see, that's what I've been telling you. There are a lot of questions that need to be answered before you implement.
That's why I'm asking you now. Remember, the question I asked was the feasibility.
If you present something like this, and there are land allocated for these same people, then give them their land for them to do the ranch. But I'm sure the government will not provide that.
Okay.
One. Then another thing is him saying that the Fulanis will call their missionaries. Which organization presents this? Have you, as a media person, ever come across such a statement that there's a governmental organization saying that they are the people that will give you farms, will give you animals? Now, if you go on your road with the animals, then you call the merchant with AK-47. And then I notice another lady saying that people in the North are moving with AK-47. Maybe she has never visited the North, I'm sure. If she has visited the North,
she said the Bauchi state governor said that.
When? Have you come across that also?
You can look it up, yes.
No, because I'm from Bauchi. I worked in Bauchi.
Okay.
So I should know Bauchi. So for her to say that there it's a lot of things, then there's a Sharia law thing, that entirely it's like you need to move across to know what's really happening. There is no person calling anyone to kill anyone. Those bandits you are seeing are just bandits, like you have Yahoo Boys, like you have the militants, like you have all other forms of terrorist organizations. They have no affiliations to any tribe or any religion. They are just people trying to prey on the gullibility of people and make money. That's all. And you have it everywhere. You have criminals across every society. What I'm telling him, and again, is when it comes to the Igbos and the he has not countered me on Igbos transporting the weapons. He is just concentrating on those that sells.
Do you have proof that Igbos transport weapons?
Yes.
You have proof?
It happens 3 days ago in Niger State.
Well, I'm looking at a newspaper publication from February 2021 where the Bauchi state governor said that the herders carry AK-47 for self-defense, and that's what that lady said. But you know what? Let's move away from this particular topic. It's very charged.
May I respond?
Okay, you've got 1 minute to do it.
Sure. So let me start with his assertion that it's a right, that grazing is a right, and that it's in Land Use Act mandates grazing routes. That is false. I have read the Land Use Act. I suggest he does the same. The Land Use Act gives all power of control of all lands in a state to the state government.
Mm.
It allows the state government to set up grazing routes if the state government so chooses.
Mm.
So it's not by force, it is a choice. Meaning the state governments have a right to decide what can and cannot be done on land.
You've got 30 seconds.
Sure. Now, apart from that, when it comes to, he talks about, I have here the Global Terrorism Index in 2019 named Fulani militant groups operating in Nigeria and parts of Central African Republic as one of the top four terrorist organizations in the world. Specifically, they said this little known group formed of individuals from the semi-nomadic pastoral group have seen a dramatic escalation in its activities in the past year.
All right, let's leave it at that. Your time is up. Let's move on to the petroleum industry bill. Dr. Bello, you mentioned that earlier on. While the southern governors applaud the PIB, they rejected the proposed 3% of revenues to host communities. They want it raised to 5%. They also don't want the 30% of profit oil proposed for exploration in frontier basins. You mentioned that before. That's why I'm coming back to that particular question. Now, what's your take on these positions?
No, it's not my take. When they made up, they, like I said, this is their right to say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying, tell you, is as a company, if you are viewing it as a company, and somebody tell me that I cannot expand my company with the interest I make to explore other places, then and enlarge my company, but I can help the host community, I can make other suggestions to the host community, you look at me like, why can't I expand then? If I can help the host community, then I should be able to expand with the interest I generate, because NNPC is a company with an interest I generate. What I want us to talk about, the main thing that attracts voices, that's the power shifting. That's the thing that generates the most buzz.
You mean the presidency? You mean the presidency shifting to the south in 2023?
Yes.
We'll come to that. That's where we're going to go next. But if you're done answering, let me come to Chief. Chief, go ahead.
All right. So it's very simple. He talks about a company. I'm assuming he's talking about the NNPC, the state-owned oil company. And he says, as a company, I want to do this. I want to do that. The question is, who owns the company? The shareholders control the company at the end of the day.
Okay.
And the NNPC is basically the Nigerian government's company that, you know, for oil interests. And the Nigerian government represents the people. So we are the shareholders in NNPC. I'm not even talking about it as a Niger Delta man from an oil-producing community and the host community of the Port Harcourt refinery, where I can say that I should have more of a say than anybody else since it's my environment being degraded. But leaving that aside for a moment, every Nigerian, if we say that this is all a national national asset, then every Nigerian is an equal state shareholder.
Hmm.
And the shareholders get to decide, should the company expand, or should the company diversify into another business, or should the company close down? A company is not there running just for its own sake. It's running based on what the shareholders want.
Hmm.
And if the southern shareholders of Nigeria's oil, state-owned oil apparatus say, we don't want to expand, and we're saying this because we all know that oil is a dead end. Nigeria spent, I listened on your show yesterday, you said that we spend 97% of revenues, oil revenues, from my place, we spend them on repaying debt. Nigeria is running out of money. We have all seen all the countries that normally buy oil from us, they're diversifying away to renewable energy and all of that. Spending what little revenue we have to look for oil in places that it doesn't exist is a waste of money that could have been used to diversify our economy so that the government has other revenue streams. And I say oil that does, because here's the thing. NNPC wants to, what some people want to do, they want to use government money, which they feel is free money, to go and look for oil wherever. But let me ask you a question. So first of all, when oil was first found in Oloibiri, in today's Bayelsa State, in Ijaw land, when oil was found there, it was not government that sponsored it. It was foreign oil companies. Why? Because they knew oil was there and they knew it to be profitable, so they were ready to spend their own money to go and mine for oil. The reason why NNPC is having to go and put money to go and fund oil exploration in these frontier basins, you know why, Sandra?
Why?
Because the foreign oil companies don't want to put their own money in because they know that the oil is not really there.
Let's leave it at that. Let's go to the phone lines. Lagos, you've got 60 seconds. As we run out of time, I'm going to keep reducing the time that you have to contribute on the show. So go ahead and give us a call. 0700-993-993-993 for men. 01465-71904 for women. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. You've got 60 seconds.
Thank you. I'm Happy from, I'm calling from Ikeja.
Go ahead, Happy.
All right. So what I want to say about this open grazing as a thing is quite funny, you understand? Because in Nigeria, we should be talking about advancement in technology. Like in other developed countries like America, there is no such thing as open grazing. I mean, it's really annoying. You see cows living on the street, everywhere smelling like, I don't know. Please, I don't. The government should just do something, because these herdsmen, they are the ones raping women in the villages and in their houses. Please, if Nigeria is not compatible, I think the best thing for everybody is just to see that.
Thank you very much for calling, Steve in Victoria Island. Hello, you've got one. You've got 60 seconds.
Hello. Hi, Sandra. Good evening.
Good evening. 60 seconds.
Anyone that says it's easy, it's not easy to be there working. God bless you.
Thank you.
We appreciate your effort.
60 seconds.
My little contribution is directed towards the man with the PhD, right?
Dr. Bello.
Yes. Mm. I would like to let him understand that sometimes we need to stop applying too much of academics to all these things. I'm not to be economic with the truth.
Okay.
And at the same time, if you understand that where someone's right ends, that's where another man's own begins.
Mm.
The fact remains that you can move around with your cattle and all that, but that doesn't mean there shouldn't be negotiations, there shouldn't be dialogue, there shouldn't be understanding among the people, among the ethnic groups you are. You trespass on their land or you move your cattle around.
Thank you very much for calling us, 99.3. Hello. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You've got 60 seconds.
Okay. So the man, you know, the argument, it shouldn't be happening, honestly. Everybody is seeing the hazard,
okay,
the killings that are, you know, going on. So we shouldn't be discussing about whether we should move the car. We've been moving the cars and it's not doing anything positive. So let's change it. Besides, there's gold in the north. So what are they doing with the gold? Wouldn't they put it so that everybody will gain from it, or even start sourcing their oil from the gold? Why would all these laws and all that were made during the military era, when the Northerners were mainly in power? So nobody should hold us down on it. If not, let's change it. Let everybody come and talk. Because now everybody is now talking. Nobody wants to listen. Because you're talking about law made by who and for whom. So what of the gold in the north? Nobody is talking about it. Even our legislators from other southern states. Why are they not talking about it?
They are. Thank you very much for calling. We've got a message here. My president, Sandra, you yourself know that one of the meaning of the word... Okay, I'm not going to read that comment. Sandra, I love Nigeria. However, you can see... Okay. Sandra, Chief is too much for this. Okay. Peter Yorinde says, good evening, Madam Sandra. It's a very long message, so I'm going to take it after this break. Lagos, don't go away. We'll be right back.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
I've got Dr. Nawaila Bello on the show with me today. He is one of the conveners of the Coalition of Northern Groups. I've got Chief Andy Oboferibo on the show as well, and he's a policy analyst, a software product manager, as well as somebody who has experience with monitoring and evaluation working for the World Bank. And today they're talking about the meetings that Southern governors have had, and they are sharing their thoughts on some of the points that were raised by these governors. Dr. Bello, I've got just 1 minute left, and so I have to ask you the question about the presidency, you know, rotating from north, between north and south, and to be zoned to the south in 2023. Do you believe in rotation and zoning? And if you do, what's your take on a southern presidency in 2023? Dr. Bello? Ah, we seem to have poor connection there. Dr. Bello?
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. You've got 60 seconds, though. Did you hear my question?
No. It's just hooked up.
Okay. Do you believe in rotation and zoning? And if you do, what's your take on a Southern presidency in 2023? 60 seconds.
I believe in competency, not rotation and zoning.
Okay.
If you are competent, you should lead the country.
Okay.
If you are not competent, you should not lead the country. That's my belief.
Okay.
Whether it's zoning or not, what the Southern governors are trying to do is bring a competition between the north and the south.
Okay.
Just they should copy from what MKO did. He came to the north, make friends, and got the votes.
Okay.
They should just do that.
Okay.
Else, if they stay in the South saying they need this, they need that, they won't get us. So, and so far, it's, I mean, we have to cast our vote. Mm. They know we have the highest number, so they would eventually another president will continue being the president.
Okay. Chief of Operations, 60 seconds.
Well, it's interesting. 2015, we were all alive. I was there in Port Harcourt live. And when people were campaigning for President Buhari, the point was it's the turn of the North. The idea among the political class, the gentleman's agreement among the political class, is that for the interests of fairness, parity, equity, justice, the same things Dr. Munawalia has been calling for here, that the presidency should be rotated with there are competent people in every zone. So even if you wanted to rotate and zone it, you can find competent people. I'll be hard-pressed to say that everybody that has been presented from every zone as president in Nigeria so far has been competent, but be that as it may. I think that's a political question which I leave to them to decide. In terms of the numbers, well, here's the thing at the end of the day. A southern president will win because increasingly we're seeing that the North Central seems to be aligned more with the South than with the Northeast and the Northwest. So I'm curious to see where this "we have the numbers" thing ends.
Thank you very much.
Last thing I have to say, I did not respond to his questions about Igbo people running guns because I don't respond to ethnic baiting without evidence.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time. You've been so gracious. Lagos will bring you the news right now. And after that, Conversations will Reply will take the air. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Those were your hard facts, Lagos. Good night.